Today I thought I'd talk about surrender. It's one of the biggest things I've learned from my own life about success, about reaching your potential. Most people flirt around the edges of something that they want to do, around a martial art or around writing or around relationships or around health. They flirt with it. They want to do stuff and they want to be great, they want to be world class. But they don't surrender to it. They flirt around the edges. When I look back at my own life and look back at times when I've experienced fulfillment and success, it was always when I had a very strong purpose. I really, really wanted to do something to the point where I'm prepared to risk my life for it. I'm prepared to give everything for it, because obviously success does demand everything. When I've got a strong enough purpose, I've always surrendered to the thing that I'm going to do. And when I surrender and I make it my reality, I find the optimum success. So when I think back to, say, for instance, working as a nightclub doorman, it's not really a world you can flirt with. It's demanding. You know, the chances are, if you do that kind of job, you might die. I know that sounds like an exaggeration, but I've said this many times. Four of my friends were murdered. You know, it was a nightly ritual for someone to get stabbed or glassed. Coventry was polled as the most violent city in Europe for its size and population. So it wasn't a job you could flirt with. You had to surrender to that job, to that reality, and the risks were that you could die. So you have to ask yourself before you start the job, am I prepared to risk everything for this? Am I prepared to lose my life, potentially, to get what I can, to learn what I can from this job? And at that time, I was prepared to do that. And it did ask everything of me. It did demand a complete surrendering. But when you completely surrender to it, and I didn't completely surrender immediately, you know, I dabbled around the edges at first to make sure it's what I wanted to do and to make sure that there was enough purpose there. I got really close to it. I approached it. Let's call it the approach. We always approach things first. We have a really close look at it. Is this what I want to bed myself with? Is this what I want to surrender to? Get really close to it. Sometimes from a distance, we will look at things and it seems exciting and the idea of it seems good. Like I know lots of people that want to be full-time martial arts instructors, and from a distance that looks really attractive. It looks really good. They want to do one-on-ones all day and from a distance that looks good. But sometimes as you get close to it, the reality is different to what we see in our mind's eye dream. When I was a full-time martial arts instructor, I thought I'd just do one-on-ones all day. I'll teach one-on-ones. But I didn't like doing one-on-ones. I do a lot of one-on-ones now with mentoring, and I love it. But with martial arts training, it didn't work for me. With martial arts training, I prefer clubs and groups and seminars. I came into my own when I was in front of large groups. One-on-ones, it felt like a long hour because, you're filling it with physical techniques, you're partnering with the person. Anyway, it didn't close up, it didn't look great, but I had to get really close to it to realise that's not for me. But from that position, I was able to see seminars and classes and courses, and that really did work for me. I loved doing that. I really enjoyed it. So it's this idea that people think they can be successful and flirt. But I think to be really successful, you have to surrender. There's a great line in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the extended Hindu text. It's the fruits of the Vedas, the Puranas. It says there's a great line from Krishna where he says, and bearing in mind Krishna represents consciousness. He says, I have no choice if my student surrenders to me, if my servant surrenders to me, I have no choice but to surrender to my servant. He says, I'm the most powerful force in the universe, but I have to succumb to my servant's wishes if he surrenders to me. So it's basically saying when we surrender to consciousness, we become consciousness. When we surrender to God, we become God. When we surrender, which is interesting, one of my friends said, "Your problem, Jeff, your problem." He didn't say it like that. He said, "The problem is, Jeff, that people are saying you think you're God." And I'm saying, "I don't think I'm God. I fucking know I'm God. Let's get that straight before we start. If I surrender to God, of course I'm God. Whatever I surrender to, I become. If I surrender to consciousness, that's what I am. If I surrender to hate, I become hate. If I surrender to love, I become love. If we all surrender to God, of course we become God. Even if we don't know what that exactly means, even if we don't know entirely what that means, we surrender to it, we become it. So, yeah, it says, "Well, I have no choice. I'm the most powerful force in the universe, but I have to surrender to anybody that surrenders to me." So it's saying that God is like a fertile earth. It will grow whatever you put in it. That's what the mind is, or the great mind is, just a substratum, like a fertile field that will grow dandelion, it will grow apple, it will grow deadly nightshade, it will grow pear, it will grow whatever you put in it. But don't put in deadly nightshade and expect to get apple. Don't put in apple and expect to get tomatoes. You get out what you put in. But that's about surrendering. That's about, look, when I look back at my life and think about where I've learned most, where my essence comes from, it's from times when I've completely surrendered. And that surrender was always precipitated by an approach. I would approach first. I would look at the lay of the land. I would make sure it looks as pretty close up as it does from a distance. Often in our mind's eye, things look a lot more attractive than they do in reality. So I got really close to it. I had a good look at it. I started to do the odd night as a doorman. And then when I realised that I was learning massive amounts, I mean huge amounts, I can't tell you. I just can't tell you how much I was learning. You know, considering I was a martial artist, I learned more in a year standing on a nightclub door than I did in 20 years in martial arts. You learn a vast amount. Anything ostentatious just falls away. It's a huge learning experience. It's very exciting. But you have to surrender to that. You have to go there and say, "Tonight I'm becoming a nightclub doorman, and somebody might try to take my life." And obviously quite often people take a dislike into you. They do. You know, they do go for you. It's a hugely violent place. Even the people in Coventry that couldn't fight wanted to fight. You could start a fight in an empty room in Coventry. It was a hugely violent place. But the key was I surrendered to it. I became that shape. And the essence I learned from that ultimate risk was massive. I learned so much. I learned about who I was, which is quite rare. And I learned about who I was by tracing through all the people I was not. I learned about what worked in martial arts. I learned about what worked in reality, as opposed to what we think works in the classes. You know, we talk about block and counter, trap and counter, you know, grab and throw. Most of that stuff fell apart like a cheap suit in the face of reality. The door was an acid bath and it got rid of anything that wasn't real. It was a beautiful, painful, delicious, frightening, exciting, exhilarating learning experience. And it was 25 years ago that I did the doors, and I'm still learning stuff now from that experience. I'm still learning stuff about the reality of how I live from that one experience. Even to the point where I realised that being in hundreds of fights, being in thousands of violent situations came about because I created it with a very powerful damaged perception, with a very powerful vivid imagination. I created that reality. I created it and I maintained it with the same energy, with the same attention, with the same intention. And when I realised it wasn't the kind of reality that I wanted to grow, I dissolved it. I stopped feeding it. So in order to do that, I had to surrender to it. I've got so many examples in my life. When I wanted to write a book and become a published author, I had to surrender to that. I had to decide to sit down I wrote a book called Watch My Back. I had to sit down and discipline myself to find time every single day to sit down and write, but not just to write, because that's, you know, surrendering doesn't mean that you just sit down and write. Surrendering means that you sit down and you tell the story, you tell the truth. You sit down and you surrender. You might sit down and think, I'm going to write this. But if you're writing from a true place, it will come through you. It will be an intuitive process. You'll be like a conduit. And this energy that comes through you will pick up all of your flavours and all of your stories and all of your edges and all your quirks. But that's about all the control you'll have. You'll just be like a machine writing it down. And that's what makes it beautiful. You have to surrender to a higher force. You have to surrender to an energy that uses you as a conduit. We just have to sit and listen to what it wants to say. And then what it wants to do is, it says to you, we want to write this book, but we want it to be truthful. This needs to be truthful. You need to be writing from the truth. You've got to be honest. You can't write about being a nightclub doorman without talking about fear. We want you to talk about the fact that you're afraid. We want you to talk about how you controlled that fear, that you never got rid of that fear, but you controlled it. We want you to talk about the reality of violence, the reciprocal nature of violence, the fact that you can't be violent to other people without processing violence through yourself. So to be violent to other people, you have to be violent to yourself. To be violent to a stranger, you have to be violent in your own life, because you are violent. It's in your cell. It's in every one of your 100 billion cells. So it says, write this book, but write the truth. That takes a lot of courage. Takes surrender. You have to surrender to that. And that's what most people don't want to do. They want to masturbate. They want to flirt. They want to play at being writers. They want to play at being martial artists. They want to say, look at me doing my Budo. I did this. I'm not judging people. I'm looking at myself as I'm talking. I did this. I want to say, look at me doing Budo, but I'm hiding my money under a bed in the biscuit tin. Look at me doing Budo, but I'm fucking my students. Look at me doing Budo, but I've got no honour in me at all. I don't even know who I am. Look at me doing Budo. Look at me, you know, doing the art, but I'm actually still getting involved in road rage. You know, look at me writing, but I'm not actually writing the truth. I'm flirting around the truth. I'm writing fantasy when my intuition is saying, tell the truth, write the truth. Write the difficult stuff, write the dirty stuff, write the stuff that you feel ashamed of. Write stuff that you're terrified of other people seeing. That's what surrender is. So to be great at anything, we have to surrender. We have to be vulnerable. We have to have faith. People say, oh, we don't need faith. But from my experiences, that's not true. Having faith for me means I'm going to follow love, not knowing where it's going to take me. I'm going to follow intuition, not knowing where it's going to take me. I'm going to tell the truth, not knowing what the circumstance, what the consequences are of telling the truth. I'm going to publish a book not knowing where that's going to take me, whether that's going to put me in harm's way, or whether that's going to put me in front of temptation, whether that's going to change everything I know about my life. Having faith means me following love without a roadmap. It means not having any roadmaps. It means not following any roadmaps. It means doing something completely unique. That excites me. That's worth getting out of bed for in the morning. Everybody else wants to be safe. They don't want to court the criticism of being spontaneously honest. They don't even want to be criticised by proxy. A lot of the people that I used to work with were afraid of working with me because they didn't want to even get the backlash of the criticism that I was getting. They didn't want criticism by proxy. They didn't want the criticism I was receiving for telling my truth to splash out or jump out onto them. And that's the story of Christ in the garden. When we work from consciousness, we court criticism because it doesn't fall into social mores, it doesn't fall into social norms. And the apostles around Christ either fell asleep or they denied him or they sold him. That's because they were afraid of criticism, they were afraid of judgment by proxy. So surrender demands so much more. Surrender doesn't just mean buying 5 judo suits and training full-time in judo, which I did for 18 months with Neil Adams. Surrendering means going in there, being a beginner, getting battered, the threat of having your neck broken, of course, because you're working with supreme players. You're working with Olympic players. In fact, I was so bad when I started training with Neil, he stopped the class one day and said, "Everybody, please take it easy on Jeff," because they were, although they were very gentle, they were very good with me. Although, as you can see by my ears, I did get a few pummelings. I did get battered a little bit. Same when I went to wrestling. I surrendered myself to wrestling. I went into a wrestling club in Birmingham with the great Jim Ault, and it was most of the guys in the class were Sikhs, and they were fucking big, strong guys. One of the guys, the first guy I chose the biggest guy in the class to partner because I thought I could handle this. He was about 20 stone. He was benching 4 plates. He was squatting 5 plates, and he was a European champion. I thought, he's the guy for me. And this guy played with me like I was a school kid. At one point, he picked me up above his head, and I felt him twitch as though he was going to slam me. And he twitched and then just gently put me back down again. But I was completely out of my league. It was very, very humbling, very beautiful. It was one of the most honest classes I've ever been in. It was amazing. So when I went to the judo class, I bought 5 judo suits, and it was my job for 18 months. I trained with Neil and with lots of members of the Olympic squad in Coventry, and I surrendered to that. My wife said to me, Sharon said to me, "I'm worried about you going to Neil's because these guys are Olympic players and you're not a great judo player. And you might get dropped on your head and get your neck broken." It's a very big reality. It's a chance because I was working with such good guys. But I was prepared to risk that because I wanted the essence that I was going to get from working with one of the best judo players on this spinning planet. Neil Adams is a friend of mine, and he was hugely generous with his time. And the guys in his class were hugely generous as well. And at the time, I was a bit arrogant. I was a bit loud. I was working as a nightclub doorman, and I was, was it then? It was after that. It might have been after that. But I was, you know, I wasn't fully in line with who I am today. So these guys were very patient with me, and they looked after me. And even though I was quite brash and quite large, they were very gentle with me. So surrendering to that class was risking everything. It became my life. It became what I did. It became how I lived and breathed. But the essence I got from that within a couple of years, being able to hold my own in an Olympic class, and the essence of understanding judo and understanding, specifically with Neil, understanding grip, understanding what grip meant. I know it's peripheral to this podcast, but understanding that if I could control grip, I could control the fight. If I could, same as with the fence, if I can control this gap, I can control the fight. Understanding about balance on the floor, understanding about direction, understanding about how to kill a man, and how easy it is for someone to kill you if they get you in a strangle. So I learned a massive amount from that. In fact, doing the judo, I surrendered to it. And what I was able to do after doing the judo was I was able to completely let go of the need to be in fights. I didn't need to be in fights anymore. It gave me such confidence. It gave me so much confidence that I was able to let go of the need to be physical all the time and the need to prove that I could be physical, to the point where I was able to take insults without feeling the need to fucking rip someone's head off and shit down their neck, without feeling the need to batter someone because they, you know, had a tug at my ego. I came away from that with amazing confidence, but I had to surrender to it. So this is the same with writing. It's the same with the judo. It's the same with the door. It's the same with relationships. It's the same with the relationship with our body. And ultimately, it's the same with our relationship with God, or with omniscience, with omnipotence, with omnipresence, with surrender to the universe. in order for us to maximize our potential, at some point we have to surrender the control of the ego, surrender the control of the mind, surrender the control of the physical and sensual body, and become conduits for service. When you say that, it sounds like a sickly sweet diversion from muscular living. Actually, it's the opposite. It's the greatest struggle you ever have, to surrender the ego to a higher force and to have faith that this higher force will direct you and create massively and prolifically in the world. Takes the ultimate courage. It's so we're talking about surrender to things in the material world and how we get good at things, but the ultimate surrender is to surrender to a higher force, is to have a divine sat-nav that directs us, and have a sentinel ego that follows that direction, and a sentinel ego that can command the mind, which is under control, and the mind that can command the physical and sensual body, which is under control, to go out into the world and create. So ultimately we've got to surrender to God. And I'm not talking about some guy in the sky with kind eyes and a beard. I'm talking about this ineffable, infinite force that we surrender to, like a seed surrenders to the ground, you know, like a plant would surrender to the soil. We have to surrender, and in order to surrender we have to first of all root out the false ego, bring it to submission. We have to recognize that the mind is software. We have to bring it to submission. The sensual body, which rules nearly everybody, we have to bring it into submission. And the physical body has to be brought into submission, so that all of these work under the command of a higher force. So it takes, it's the ultimate Budo, it's the ultimate aim, it's what I'm aiming to do and teach with my Pure Function course. I couldn't remember the name then. So that's my Pure Function course that's coming up. So it's about surrendering. We have to be prepared to be vulnerable. We have to develop a faith, or we have to ask for faith. We have to follow love, not knowing where it's going to take us. We have to surrender to love. There's only one thing to do: follow the love, and then have faith that everything else will come to us, everything else we will need. But it's no good just flirting around the edges and pretending that we've submitted. We say we submit to become an elite martial artist, but we're still carrying 2-3-4 stone of extra weight. So we haven't even surrendered to the body. We haven't even got control of the body. You know, we say we're going to surrender to Buddha, but we haven't even got control of our lives. We want to take on the world, but we can't take on our own personal problems. So there's a big difference between flirting and surrendering. Surrendering is completely giving yourself over to something greater than yourself. And that continues to be my challenge. Some days I'm completely surrendered. Other days I'm running around frightened like everybody else. So wherever you are, whatever you're looking at, whether you're looking at becoming a better martial artist, or whether you're looking at becoming a better father or a better partner, whether you're looking at becoming a better man, whether you're looking at becoming a better disciple or a better apostle or a better servant, or just a better puncher, surrender to it. If you look at someone like Tony Preston, who's one of the guys that trains with me, he wants to become a better puncher. So he's doing a million punches to improve his punching, and the way he punches now, he punches like a world-class puncher, because he surrendered to it. That's what he does about 3 hours every single day. He just punches. It's become his job to punch. And of course, through that, he's getting cleaning. He's getting connection to divinity. He's expanding his consciousness, what the Dog Brothers call higher consciousness through harder contact. It's amazing what he's getting just from repeating the punch. He's surrendering himself to a punch, but he's getting much more than just a punch. He's getting much more than just being a great striker. So if things aren't happening for you, and they're not happening quickly enough, or you don't feel as though you're getting the progress, it's probably because you're not surrendering. when you surrender, and I've done it many times, you will see incredible results.